You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't already done so, go to newchurches.com and check out Plus Membership. You'll be able to download exclusive content like sample job descriptions and view content like startups and church planting networks, just to name a few. Well, I feel generous today, Todd, and would love to do a giveaway.
I'm glad you're feeling generous.
Yeah. So there was this review on iTunes from
dbrown937. I love dbrown937.
He gave us 5 stars and said, grateful for this resource.
Oh, thank you, dbrown.
The research these guys are putting out is incredible. The practical Q&A format with real questions and real world answers is helpful. Lapping it up.
Good deal.
Well, dbrown, if you send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or DM me on Twitter, we will give you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and a pen. And for all of you who have already given us and sent in a review on iTunes, we thank you so much. If you haven't yet done that, we would appreciate if you were to take some time, even right now as you're listening to this, to do that, because your reviews help other people discover this podcast as well. Well, let's listen to today's question.
Hi there, my name is Jason Frizzell from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I've got experience working in multi-site communities. My question for you is, what are the best practices to build a culture of team instead of a culture of competition between sites?
Now, this is an interesting question because if, you know, Todd, both of us love assessments. My favorite is the StrengthsFinder assessment. And, you know, if you have the competition theme,
Good luck with this one.
I mean, you could use competition in a positive way to help sites grow, to build team. But it seems like Jason is coming from more of a negative perception of competition.
Well, I don't know what to say that is helpful or beneficial. No, I mean, here's the thing. There's always going to be competition.
Yeah.
Because it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, you compete, you grow up competing with your siblings. It's there. It's part of who we are. It's part of our sin nature. We are fallen people. So there's going to be some competition. Now, we are also brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are also good leaders. And as good leaders, we need to recognize the effort and stewardship and all these. We get so much more done when we're working together and if we're all pulling in the same direction. Yeah. You know, if everybody on the boat is pulling their oars in a different direction, we're toast. We're going to end up going around in circles.
Yeah. I mean, healthy teams do have competition. There is that element. But the thing about competition, you know, that happens in a negative way is when people don't know each other. Oftentimes, if you have teams individuals from different campuses who don't really know each other, and all they know about one another are, hey, this is what they did, or this is what, but there's no personal relationship, yeah. That's when competition comes up and it could be unhealthy.
Well, I think that's really important to note is get to know people and get to know other teams for yourself.
Yeah.
And especially coming into a new organization, don't believe whatever lore is out there. I will one of the most effective ways to embed culture is, of course, the things that you celebrate, mm-hmm. the things that you measure, the things that is part of myth and legend.
Yeah,
are the stories that you tell. So that's the stories that you tell on stage, and you celebrate this. You know how these two people across campuses or this massive project, church-wide project, and how everybody came together and, you know, all the campuses came together and accomplished X or, you know, whatever it is. Those things are important to do from stage. It's also important that they become myth and legend. And by that, I mean, this is what is whispered about in the hallways secretly sometimes.
That sounds kind of freaky, man.
It does. But that's part of it. It's what's celebrated on the stage, but also what gets transmitted person to person. So one to many stories, and then the myth and legend is more of one to one.
Yeah, and oftentimes the competition, I mean, Jason, having been on staff at, I think, one of the biggest multi-site churches and mega churches in Canada. I mean, the thing about competition is it's not necessarily the different campuses, the congregants that feel that competition. It's more the staff, right? And I feel like negative competition comes as a result of misunderstanding or as a result of just not having that relationship. So at my previous church, one thing that we did was we did Cake Boss. Okay, you know that show, Cake Boss? So what we did was we were all in different teams on the staff. And we all had these basic cakes from Costco, not the decorated one, just a plain old vanilla cake. And we had to do minute to win it games. I mean, I don't take credit for organizing any of this, but we had minute to win it games to win toppings and different things that you would incorporate on the cake. And then eventually we had to build a cake. And I mean, that is probably one of my favorite memories from being on staff. But
it's like church Hunger Games in every sense of the word.
But the beauty of it was I was placed on a team with people from other campuses.
Yeah.
People in different roles, people I didn't really connect with.
Did you all win?
We were close to winning. I mean, we did a beach
close
scene.
Close to winning?
We didn't win. We didn't win.
Okay.
But I was pretty proud that we did a beach scene and I bit the gummy bear in half. Stuck it in the water, got a shark, and did some red food coloring around the half-eaten gummy bear.
That's just morbid.
Well, come on. It was actually pretty funny.
Well, yeah. So now people are doing their own psychoanalysis of you.
Hey, anyway, maybe we should edit that out. But
About sharks. It's about doggy dog. It's about competition.
But having said that, after that event – the fervor, the team, the culture of team was built up on our staff rather than this culture competition.
Well, and what happens in a situation like that is when there is organizational friction or there's a breakdown in system or process across campuses, especially from the communications standpoint, somebody has a really poorly written email and somebody's already having a bad day when they read that email and it starts to escalate. It's much easier for you to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to call Brian because, you know, you did this thing with Brian. You guys had a really good time. Yeah, and, you know, now you're Facebook friends and all that. Mm-hmm. But you can call Brian.
Because Facebook friends, that's the epitome.
That was bad. No, you're real friends.
Yeah, okay, not real friends. Facebook. You text each other.
You text
each
other.
But not calling it. Oh, well, you said anyways.
May I am each other. I don't know. The point being, when there's friction, you now feel like there's enough relational glue there that you can call the guy and say, hey, what's up with this? You know, what's your problem? What's your campus's problem? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's not that. It's just, okay, what does this really mean? Hey, can you help me out? Let's be part of the solution to de-escalate this rather than escalate it.
Yeah. And that's so important because when you work with people at your campus, you are spending more time with them, right? You're probably going to be in more meetings with them. You're going to see them more often. The problem with other sites and other campus staff teams is you just aren't going to have that that much time together. So you're not going to have as much relational equity in your pockets to forgive one another or even just to have the benefit of the doubt, give the person the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and people develop a certain reputation. Some people can develop a reputation.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to go back to my last church and see what my reputation is now, like with new people. I want to know what the stories are, whether the stories are, because you know, when you go back, it's like, oh, well, you were the scapegoat for this, and this. This was all your idea.
Yeah.
All that stuff is very intriguing. Okay, so here's where the rubber really meets the road. I have not brought this one up, but I hate to put a burden on our leaders, especially our executive leaders listening, but that's where it all starts because they are communicating a clear expectation of teamwork and collaboration, or they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
They are modeling
a
clear expectation of teamwork and collaboration, or they're not.
Yeah, because it's one thing to have the values on the wall saying, hey, we're going to be collaborative, we're going to have this one vision. But you're right. If the executive team, if the senior leadership team at the church, if they're not playing that out, if they're not demonstrating it, then it doesn't really matter what they have to say.
Nope.
Yeah, because it then will actually trickle down through the rest. And here's the tension. I mean, I'm at an extreme. I can be a workaholic, and it's because I like working. It's fun.
Word. when you love what you do, what you do as ministry. I mean, yeah. You have every excuse in the world to overwork.
Exactly.
It's so much fun.
So here's the challenge, though. When you look at the pure hours that it takes to organize a staff get-together or something to develop relationships and celebrate with one another as a staff, to develop the type of team culture that you want to develop, because you can't tell people this
That's
is our culture.
I was gonna
say.
It's a culture thing.
Yeah, you need to actually spend time doing it. But when you think the amount of hours, right? Let's say you had a staff of 50 and you were going away for, it was a half a day thing, 4 hours. I mean, that's 200 paid hours. Right,
that's from a lot of hours.
It is, but I mean, if you want to develop a culture, you know, you need to be able to organize those things and invest in that.
Well, and it's important. Okay, so you're going to have an organizational culture, and you're going to have a particular culture at each campus, and you're going to have another culture on a team. Mm-hmm. So the more those things align, the better off you are. I mean, everybody's going to have their own nuance. After a campus pastor has been at a campus for 3 years, it's gonna feel like that campus pastor. If he's passionate about missions, guess what? They're gonna be passionate about missions. If he's passionate about young families, guess what? They're gonna be passionate about young families.
Yeah.
So it needs to be an expression of the whole and a close expression of the whole.
Yeah, and what we talked about is completely relatable and translatable for church plants. I mean, if you are a lead planter or on a church planting team, think about the culture that you are developing with your launch team, with your elders, with your deacons. Think about are you demonstrating the type of team leadership culture that you want to do, or is it very much of a competitive culture, or I am the dictator leader, everyone needs to do what I everyone needs to do what I tell them to do. I mean, because the type of culture that you develop, that's going to just seep through everything else. I mean, Peter Drucker said it famously, right? Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Right on. Well, thank you again for listening to the New Churches podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, just send a voicemail in at newchurches.com, or you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And Todd is laughing because I did that like 3 times right now.
Yes.
But we did a good job editing. Anyways, we are going to answer one question per show, so get your questions in. Thanks.